everyone. Ready to dive into something really important. We're tackling school discipline, but here's the twist. We're focusing on students with disabilities.
It's a topic that definitely needs more attention, lots of layers to unpack.
You got that right. It can be tricky even without bringing special ed law into it. And that's why we're doing this deep dive today. We've got this document, right? It's called 170406 IMFO SBE Discipline Decision Tree.pdf. Yeah, I know, catchy title, right?
Maybe not the most exciting name, but trust me, it's got the good stuff. Essential for anyone who's dealing with this stuff in the real world.
Seriously, think of it like, okay, imagine you're lost in the woods of special ed law. This document, this is your compass, your map, and your survival guide all rolled into one.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Mm.
We're talking about knowing your rights, advocating for these students, and making sure things are fair.
Exactly. And the cool thing is, this document, it doesn't just tell you what to do after something happens. It's all about being proactive.
Right. Like, how do we prevent these situations from blowing up in the first place?
Exactly. And they actually say it right here. Hold on. I've got it. Regulatory compliance issues are minimized, and student progress is best achieved with the documented use of scientifically based positive behavior support techniques and procedures that avoid removal of a student from school.
See, I told you it had the good stuff. They're basically saying, let's create a positive environment from the start.
Support, not just punishment.
100%. And here's the other thing we got to remember. Students with disabilities, they're students first.
Right. Their IEP doesn't define them.
Exactly. So we always start with the school's regular discipline procedures. Those are the baseline.
Makes sense. A level playing field.
Exactly. And only if those standard procedures don't cut it, then we look at making changes, you know, to accommodate the student's disability.
Finding that balance, right? Fair for everyone, but also making sure each student has what they need to succeed.
You got it. And that's where these flowcharts come in. Think of them like those choose your own adventure books.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So let's say we have a student, they're getting special ed services, and they break a school rule. Where do we even begin?
First things first, we got to figure out how long they're being removed from school.
Okay, so the length of the punishment matters.
It's crucial, actually, because that's how we figure out if it's just a removal or if it's something more serious, a change of placement.
Hold on. Removal versus change of placement. What's the difference and why does it matter?
Okay, so a removal, that's basically anytime a student's got to sit out, right? Could be a few hours, maybe a day, even a whole week. Depends on what went down. But here's the thing. If we keep removing a student, or if it's a long removal, like more than 10 school days in a row, that's when we got to think about a change of placement.
So it's not just about one bad day. It's about the bigger picture.
Exactly. It's about seeing a pattern. Like, imagine a kid's always getting sent out of class, right? Even if each time isn't a huge deal, those removals add up. Starts to tell you, maybe that classroom isn't the best fit anymore.
Okay. So it's like the removals are a symptom, not the actual problem.
Bingo. And that's where the law steps in. Says we got to look at whether this student needs a different setting, something more structured.
So more than 10 days, that's like, bam, automatic red flag.
Pretty much. Think of it like, remember those chutes and ladders we talked about?
Yeah.
10 days, you're sliding down a chute, got to review the placement. No ifs, ands, or buts.
And a change of placement, that brings in a whole other level of rules, right? To protect the student.
Exactly. We got to make sure they're still in the least restrictive environment. Can't just be like, oh, you need extra support. Off to a separate school you go.
Right. Got to find that balance. Address the behavior, but make sure they're still learning and growing.
100%. And this is where the parents come in, or guardians, whoever's calling the shots. Got to work together, school and family. Open communication is key.
Speaking of parents, there's this other thing in the document, prior knowledge. And let me tell you, this one had me scratching my head.
Yeah, it's a bit of a head scratcher. Basically, it means the school can't play dumb. If there's even a hint that a student might have a disability, got to treat it seriously.
Even if there's no official diagnosis.
Even then, got to be proactive. Look for those signs. And the document, it actually gives us three specific situations that count as prior knowledge. Number one. A parent expresses concern in writing to the school.
So those casual chats at pickup, those don't count.
Afraid not.
Yeah.
Got to get it in writing, you know, create that paper trail. Second situation, parent requests an evaluation for special ed. Doesn't even matter if the evaluation's happened yet. That request alone, that's prior knowledge.
Like setting up a flare gun. Hey, we need some support over here.
Exactly. Hmm. And lastly, if a teacher, or really any staff member, they go to the special ed director or someone higher up and they're like, hey, this kid's struggling. That's prior knowledge, too.
So even if the parent isn't the one waving the flag, if the school sees it, they gotta act.
Yep. It's about having that safety net, making sure no student falls through the cracks.
I like it. This prior knowledge thing, it's like a game changer. Parents, teachers, we all have a role to play here.
For real. It's not just on the parents to fight for every little thing. Yeah. Everyone's got to be paying attention, looking out for these kids.
Okay, so let's say things escalate. We're going down this flowchart, and bam, we hit manifestation determination. Sounds scary.
It's a big deal, for sure, because now we're really getting into why a student is acting up. Basically, we got to figure out, is this behavior because of their disability or not?
Okay, break it down for me. What does it even mean for something to be a manifestation of a disability? Like, give me an example. Real world stuff. Okay, break it down for me. What does it even mean for something to be a manifestation of a disability? Like, give me an example. Real world stuff.
Okay, picture this. You've got a student, right? They have autism, and they totally lose it. Like, full-blown meltdown in the middle of a crowded hallway.
Okay, so on the surface, that's disruptive, right? Got to do something.
Exactly. But here's where it gets tricky. See, during this manifestation determination, the IEP team, they got to ask why. Why is this happening? They got to figure out, is this meltdown? Is it just a random Tuesday? Or is it connected to the autism?
So we're looking for the root cause, not just the behavior itself.
You got it. So, like, does this student have sensory issues? Is that documented in their IEP? Was the hallway just too much for them to handle?
So the IEP, that's like our guidebook here.
Exactly. Did it say anything about sensory overload? Like, does this kid need a quiet room sometimes? Noise-canceling headphones, maybe?
Okay, and let's say the school, they dropped the ball, didn't provide those things. The meltdown, it was because of the disability, not just the student being difficult. Then what?
Well, then it's time for a different game plan. We're not talking punishment here. We're talking support.
Ah, so the school has to adjust, right? Figure out how to prevent that meltdown next time.
Exactly. Maybe they try those new accommodations. Maybe they train the staff better. Or maybe the IEP needs a total overhaul.
It's about finding solutions, not just consequences.
100%.
Yeah.
Help the student learn. Help them cope. That's the goal.
Okay, makes sense. But this document, it also talks about those more serious situations. You mentioned special circumstances earlier. What about drugs, weapons, stuff like that? Does the manifestation determination still matter?
Oh, absolutely. Huge question, right? Because now we're talking about everyone's safety, not just one student.
Yeah, right, gotta draw the line somewhere.
Exactly. And the document, it gets that. It says flat out, sometimes the regular rules, they don't apply. Drugs, weapons, serious harm. That changes things.
But even then, we're not throwing the student to the wolves, right?
Nope. Still got to figure out if the behavior was because of the disability. Still got to do the manifestation determination. And here's the big one. The student, they still need an education.
Even if they can't be in a regular classroom.
Even then. It's called an IAES, Interim Alternative Educational Setting. Basically, a different way to learn, but still got to happen.
So it's a balancing act, right? Safety first, but also making sure every student gets a fair shot.
That's it. Not easy, that's for sure. But this document, it gives us the roadmap.
I've got to say, this deep dive, it's been a lot. I feel like my brain's full, but in a good way. What would you say is the most important thing for listeners to remember?
Honestly, knowledge is power. That's it. We understand this stuff. We know the rules. We can fight for these kids, make sure they get a fair shot.
And don't be afraid to get your hands dirty, right? Dig into this document yourselves. Ask questions. Don't give up.
Exactly. It's on all of us. Parents, teachers, everyone, to advocate for these students. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Well said. And on that note, we're calling it a wrap. But hey, the conversation doesn't have to end here. Join us online, #decodingdiscipline, share your thoughts, your stories. Let's keep this going.
Absolutely. We're all in this together.
Until next time, everyone, keep learning and keep those deep dives going.